Angie has made it easier than ever to hire high-quality pros to get all your home service jobs done well. Just bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie will connect you with local pros who match your specific needs. Or book a service instantly at an upfront price. So join the millions of homeowners who use Angie to care for their homes and get your next home service job done well. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Angie has made it easier than ever to hire high-quality pros to get all your home service jobs done well. Just bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie will connect you with local pros who match your specific needs. Or book a service instantly at an upfront price. So join the millions of homeowners who use Angie to care for their homes and get your next home service job done well. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Oh, that familiar theme song tells you that you have strolled right smack dab into the middle of the steam room. I don't know if you meant to, if it happened by accident, whichever. We're happy to have you. You join the loyal steamers who have made this, and I sometimes exaggerate, I say that it's the second most popular podcast in the history of media. I have nothing to back that up with, but I will tell you this. Last week, which was episode 24 and was the first sponsored by Tractor Supply Company, was the most downloaded we've had.
Really?
Featured Rex Chapman, who was unbelievable.
Ernie, I've had at least 10 people walk up to me and say, Rex, you know, because I, you know, Killer Mike and Van Jones, they on the top of my list. But I've had at least 10 people walk up to me and say, yo, man, that Rex Chapman interview was crazy. And they loved it.
We always begin the steam room with Chuck's favorite phrase.
First of all.
What's first of all today?
I got three things I want to talk about. And, you know, we throw the word around hero a lot, and it's undeserved by a lot of people. But there's two men I want to mention who I had the pleasure of meeting, John Lewis and the Reverend C.T. Vivian. You talk about civil rights pioneers, they're from the beginning with Dr. King. Two of the most amazing men I've ever met in my life. I got a great picture of myself and Congressman Lewis that I hold dear to my heart. It was amazing to spend time with him. And you talk about dignity, honor, respect. I can just say, I want to give my condolences to his family for letting us have a hero for 80 years. And he is a hero. And I got to spend some time when I did my documentary for TNT. I got to spend some time with the Reverend C.T. Vivian. And, you know, I can say the same things about him, class, dignity, just an amazing person. And the world lost two incredible people, and I want to acknowledge them. And I want to say something about Reverend Vivian, who he said something to me. He said, Charles, I want you to make sure when you're doing this documentary, you talk about all the white people who sacrificed also. I said, sir? He says, yeah, a lot of great black men and women did a lot of heavy lifting, but we didn't do it alone. You go back and look at these mug shots when we visit the Civil Rights Museum. He said, I want you to acknowledge, that's what we talked at. He says, I want you to acknowledge all the black men and women who paid a heavy price for our freedom. But also I want you to, you have to acknowledge there were a lot of white people who were in the marches also. And that stuck with me. So I just want to acknowledge those two men and say thank you for a life well lived. And the third person, just a friend of mine, his name is Jim McBride. He lost his battle with cancer. He was just a really good friend. I met him in Raleigh, North Carolina 30 years ago at the Jimmy B golf tournament. He was one of my security guys. And he was a big, lovely man. And I talked to him a few weeks ago, and he knew the end was coming, but he's like, hey, I've had a great life, and I just want to give my best to Big Jim and his family, and may all three of these men rest in peace. But two heroes, John Lewis and Reverend C.T. Vivian, thank you.
Sorry to hear about your friend too, Chuck. And, you know, I think back, remember that freezing cold night that of the MLK games a few years ago, and we were at the King Center sitting outside and with Bernice King and with John Lewis. And what a rich time that was when we did that pregame show from out there.
It was amazing. And it see some of those old pictures, and you see him right beside Dr. King and those guys. You're like, man, he's been in this thing a long time. He talk about the time he got his skull bashed in. And, you know, he had such a dignity. Like, he never got mad. He just kept pushing forward. And every time you were around him, you felt like, man, I'm around greatness. I'm around somebody who's great. And I felt the same thing when I was around Reverend Vivian. But John Lewis, man, you talk about was a living legend. Same thing with him and Mr. Vivian. And I just wanted to acknowledge those guys because, as I said earlier, a life well lived. And that's what everybody wants.
Well done. Well said, Chuckster. That that gets us going here on the Steam Room.
Special guest today.
Oh, for sure. One of the legends in baseball and a guy you would just love to talk to all day long. Season about to start for Joe Maddon, the new manager of the Angels, and he will join us next on the Steam Room. We welcome you back inside the Steam Room.
Special guest.
Yeah, and when we have a special guest, we always have to remind the special guest, please, as you enter the Steam Room, you keep the towel on. This towel sporting the Angels logo. Wow, look at that. Do they even say Anaheim anymore when you talk about the Angels? Joe Maddon, who's the manager of the Angels?
No, you don't. You say Los Angeles or Angel Stadium. It's almost like when I went to the Rays. I got a quick education on, you never say Tampa, you never say St. Pete separately. It's either Tampa St. Pete or Tampa Bay. And out here it's Los Angeles Angels and Angel Stadium. And I'm totally in.
Very good. It's great to have you. Baseball's back, man. You're about to crank it up. As we talk now, it's opening night. We'll feature the Nationals and the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Giants. And then you guys get it going in Oakland. Man, this has been a strange spring and summer so far. How have you dealt with it?
Charles and I were just talking. I mean, once this all hit, you go into seclusion. And for me, it was, a lot of exercise and eating properly, getting a lot of sleep. And it really, I think there was a moment there where you could really get into your own thoughts a little bit better. There's a lot of analyzation going on. I think we all did the same thing. And for me, it was very helpful in that regard. You approach the day without preoccupation. I mean, in our business, what we do, there's a lot of preoccupation. Your mind's always working in advance. But I thought I had a greater ability to slow it down and truly stay right here, right now. And from that perspective, I think I gained a little bit. I think I learned a little bit. That was kind of, it was different, but it was helpful to me personally. And then for the baseball side of things, routine. So our routine's different. The one thing I emphasize with our guys from day one is it's going to be inconvenient. It's going to be uncomfortable. We have to be flexible and you have to be nimble through this whole thing. And to expect anything else is a bad expectation. So talked about that from the beginning. So even before you get into baseball, it was about all these other things that to me had to be lined up for me in order to be the best version of me for my players. And that's how this whole thing started from this baseball season for me personally.
With going without spring training and really playing a lot of exhibition games, what's been the thing you focus on the most during this abbreviated, like we got to play in 2 weeks?
Well, what we did was, even though we couldn't play against somebody else who played simulated games, I'm really proud of our guys, the level that they competed at against one another. That's not easy to do. As you know, when you're not facing a different jersey, an arena with people in it, You have to fabricate a lot of this adrenaline for yourself. But we did. And the lesson learned, the way we ran this, the sim game, what we did was, as opposed to auguring out time in the morning for team fundamentals, we incorporated them into the game. So in the game, the pitcher's already loose and ready. The fielders are loose and ready. They're game speed. So when you incorporate all this stuff actually during a game, you get more reps with it than you would ever do during an actual spring training. And you're doing it in a manner where everybody's hot and you could stop it and correct it. So we've already been talking, how do we do this during a normal spring training? So work was done. We got everything that we needed to get in there. Hitters got, I think, enough at bats. Pitchers, they're stretched out to the right numbers. I mean, our starters have the ability to go 90 pitches, a minimum of 90 to 100 easily the first time out. So everything was done, but we learned lessons on, I think, how to be more even efficient in regards to getting our work done.
So this is going to be so strange, just in terms of how the game is played and how the season runs. And, you know, you and I have talked before about the different ways a guy has to manage in the course of a season. You know, there's the regular season, then there's after the call-ups, and then if you're in the wild card game, it's different than when you're in the DS. And now you've got a pitcher who's got to face, you know, you go to the pen, you get one of your situational lefties here, and he's got to face three guys. You know, how is this going to be different as a manager for you?
Well, you touched on it there. I mean, first of all, it's playoff time. So you already have to get into that mental mode. Normally in April and May, you give guys opportunities to fail. I mean, if a guy's not getting it done, but you got to find out what you have, you let him keep playing, and you might throw him a little bit longer, give him more at-bats because he needs to get it going. Right now, you don't have that same opportunity, that same window. So you are in August to start the season. You're not in April, May. So there's that different mindset. We would have absolutely signed on to being in first place on this date when spring training began, which yeah. We are. So the difference would be less patience from a manager, I think, meaning pull a pitcher sooner, pitch hit sooner. If a guy is really struggling, go ahead and move it to somebody else for right now and see if you got a hotter hand in there. You just can't be as patient. I think that's the biggest difference right now. A little bit more proactive as a manager. But otherwise, the game's the game. You know, nothing else really changed. I still want us to be assertive. I don't want us to be afraid of making mistakes. I think that's the thing that hamstrings a lot of people. When you get to this time of the year, you want to play a different game. I want to play the same game that we would normally play in April or May, but you just, as a manager, a little less tolerant because you just you're that close and you cannot really sacrifice games to find things out.
I mean, is that because there's been sentiment out there, Joe, that hey, 60 games isn't enough to determine who the best team in baseball is. I mean, you look last year, you were tied for the second best record in Chicago mm-hmm. after 60 games, mm-hmm. wound up not getting in. Washington, number 13 in the National League, wins the World Series because they were 27-33 after 60 games. So is this a true champion who's going to be crowned at the end of this sprint?
First of all, you're right. I mean, 162 really determines who the best team is in that league. And then, the playoff system is so involved. That's why it's so difficult to repeat on an annual basis. I mean, wild card game. Five games, best out of five, best out of seven, best out of seven. That's not easy to do year after year. So teams that do that in any sport, I really have a strong appreciation for that. So 60 games. In a perverse way, I think it's even more impressive under the circumstances with all the different methods in place, the different protocols in place, the different days that we're faced with, the injuries and how devastating they can be, because even in the short term, that exponentially drawn out, it's percentage wise, it's a large part of your season. And then the threat of being ill, of somebody getting ill, and then your family getting ill, there's all these different things to carry with you. So it's 60 game sprint. Yeah. But there's a lot going on here. And like you said, different roles, to determine the outcome, whether it's the three relievers facing three guys, whether it's the runner starting on second base in extra innings, there's different things to
universal DH, yeah.
universal DH, right? All these different things to contend with. So in some ways, whoever wins this, put it together really quickly. And then I think we're going to find out, but the group that really adheres to protocol, I mean, I've asked my guys to be the best version of themselves, the best teammate they've ever been in their life. That's the guy, that's what we need in order to stay well during this. The guy to me that should opt out is not necessarily the guy that may have a pre-existing condition, but the guy that doesn't think he could follow protocol. You get on the road, maybe the first or second road trip, and a guy's having a hard time, not just staying in and mingling with whomever. That's actually the guy that should consider not playing. So, weirdly, this might be even more difficult to do than a 162, weirdly.
So, Coach, what are y'all going to do about the minor league guys?
Yeah.
Because this is going to be, they're not getting any run whatsoever. How are y'all going to address that situation?
So our players will be at Long Beach State that are not with us. It's kind of like a minor league group. I think it's going to be a group of about 30 kids, 30 players. So, yeah, you're right, man. You're losing a whole year of really valuable education for your minor league players, both them getting better and plus your ability to evaluate. So that's hard. I think I'd love to see if we can get this thing under control, a more advanced version of winter ball.
Mm-hmm.
When we get to the end of the year, I'd love to see a renaissance in actual winter ball in Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, Mexico. I know Venezuela is not a good spot for that right now, but I'd love to see players, borderline major league players, players that have gotten there that have something to work on, go play a little adverse situation. And again, with health conditions being appropriate. So, I don't know this yet, but I would imagine that we're keeping an eye on methods to get these guys involved this fall into spring in order to make up for some lost time that they're losing developmentally right now.
So what are the rules? They can't be placed on a roster at any point this season?
Oh, yeah, they can. Yes. Yeah, they are our minor leagues. They are there to support us because there's going to be actual injuries and hopefully not, but there may be some COVID cases that, yes, you're going to have to replace. We the bubble that MLB has created, I think, has been pretty well thought out. I mean, we have to test every day, but we have to spit every other day. So we get actually spit tested every other day in order to really minimize impact if, in fact, somebody does turn up to be positive. Again, it's just another layer that we have to deal with on a daily basis, but necessary to make this whole thing work. So to this point, a lot of adjustments, inconvenience, uncomfortable, like I said, flexible, nimble. But our guys have done it. And if we could continue to be the best version of ourselves as teammates, we could run this all the way through.
Is it safe to say the road life is going to be determining which teams survive this thing the best? You know, of your conduct on the road. I mean, I don't know what the rules are, Joe. When I get off your team plane and I go to the hotel, now where can I eat dinner? Or are there rules that are team rules? And what's MLB telling you?
Well, what we're doing is, of course, there's protocol. I mean, yes, we're all supposed to avoid going out to a restaurant. Absolutely. Even to the point of going to Starbucks in the morning. I don't even know, and hopefully that's not a plug for Starbucks, but. even to that level, you know, you're trying to sequester. Now, quite frankly, my life has been kind of like that on the road for the last several years. I mean, I get room service coffee. I bring my Bulletproof with me. I mix it up in the room in the morning, and then I drink my coffee and I do my work. And then we're actually going to do our team meetings, offensive team meetings, defensive and pitching from the hotel in the morning prior to the first game of a series, which you normally do at the ballpark. We're going to do it there, so we spend less time at the ballpark. So now all of a sudden the bus is pushed back on the road. You get to go to the ballpark later, minimizing risk there. I guess what I'm trying to say is I think it's actually changed a bit over the years regarding what guys do after games. They really love their video. I mean, they'll go in their room and a couple guys will hang out and they'll play video games post game, as opposed to run to the nearest watering hole. That's not nearly as popular as it had been. So I don't know that the adjustment's going to be as difficult not going out after the game as some people may think. Final point, I think I brought up is that why not just get a big old suite room in each hotel that we're at so that players could congregate there after the game so they don't have to sit in their little cubicle. It's hard to come down from some games, man. I mean, you get out there, you're playing some stuff, and you get wound up to just sit in your room and have it unwind. It can be difficult. So at least if you could go maybe have a drink, have a beer with your guys in a room or play some video in a big room to just unwind a bit, that might not be a bad idea either.
Yeah, so you're telling your guys, look, everybody take the bus, don't Uber, don't, you know, because, you know, a lot of times guys say, no, I'm not, you know, I'm going to go early, I'm going to the yard early, I'm going to get a cab, or you know, I'm going to share a cab with him. So are you kind of saying, none of that?
Correct. And here's the other thing I'm hoping. We baseball players come to the ballpark way too early on a daily basis. I've been fighting. I did it. I used to show up at 12:30. Eventually, for a 7 o'clock game, your brain starts fading a bit because you're in a concrete bunker, and all you're doing is hanging out, drinking coffee. Don't tell me you have that much work to do. I like the idea that maybe we're retraining guys right now to show up a little bit later. Show up and just get your work done. Have a life away from the ballpark. Be a human being. And when you get to the ballpark, you put the stuff on and go to work. But there's so much it's nonsense. There's so much eyewash involved in that I've been rallying against for years. Some people get it. Some people don't get it. It doesn't bother me because I know it's accurate. I've done both ways. I know how I feel by reporting later than earlier. What we're doing right now electronically, I could do all my work in the morning, and I do. I got my iPad right here. So tomorrow morning I'll sit and I'll get the lineup done. I'll look at all the video. I'll get a look at all the data. You don't need to be sitting at the Oakland Coliseum in that small manager's office trying to disseminate all this stuff where you get a lot of it done when you get to work, and don't just go there to drink coffee.
You know, it's so funny you said that, Coach. All my baseball friends, and I'm going back to the 80s when I was like, what time do you go in? They're like, oh, we get in around noon.
Yeah.
I said, what the hell do you do from noon to 7 o'clock, 7:30 at night? They're like, nothing. That's just the way it's always been done.
Right. And that's the worst reason to do anything, Charles, isn't it? Because it's always been done that way. When somebody tells me that, oh, I do it because it's the way it's always been done, I said, that's the absolute worst reason to do anything.
Joe, how do you handle national anthem? And is there, are there discussions?
Oh, yeah. Individually.
Yeah, individually. Okay. I mean, so what's your policy? Where do you stand on it? And I saw that Keenan Middleton took a knee. And so what's the Angels' stance on kneeling?
We've had several Zoom calls specifically about this with the whole organization. And I talked to the guy specifically about Black Lives Matter and the anthem. And the big thing I really try to impress upon them, and this is from my perspective, is to find your own truth. What speaks to you? And whatever speaks to you, what's in your heart, that's what you need to do. So when it came to the anthem, to kneel or to stand, what is your truth? Keenan would not be able to live with himself had he not knelt the other night. Fully supported it. I told him that in advance. In the Zoom call, all of his teammates fully supported him in what he wanted to do. It's pretty simple to me. It really comes down to that. Listening skills are really important right now. Really understanding why people are doing this is really important right now, to not confused with lack of patriotism or whatever, and being more about a specific protest and specifically racial injustice and policing. The word I really try to drive home in these meetings was the word accountability. I think at the end of the day, for me, if I had to, my interpretation of Black Lives Matter is the word accountability. What we're looking for is accountability. We want equal accountability in all parts. And I discussed values over politics. That was the crux of the conversation. A lot of guys chimed in. It was tremendous. A lot of guys concluding these meetings were saying it's the best team meeting they've ever had. And not because of me, but because of the substance of it, the fact that it really can bring a group together. And you all know this. I mean, very uncomfortable to have a microphone put before you if you really don't know what you think and what you want to say. And so I thought it was very important for us to get in front of it. And for those that were uncertain, either what to say or what they thought, to have an open discussion to create the thought and give you direction and give you something to look into. And we had Ken Shropshire on the other day also, educator, Wharton School of Business, Columbia School of Law, and also Stanford. And Ken was also part of our discussion the other night to add historic background of African Americans in our country, and goes all the way back to the Civil War and what that was all about. So we try to educate as much as we possibly can to help you make an informed decision in regards to what you want to do. I'm not going to stand here and tell you what to do, brother. It's about what you want to do and what speaks to your truth. That was the crux of the conversation.
You know, I hate to ask you this question because it's going to come up. As an older gentleman.
Yes. 66 is the new 46.
Okay. You know, we had Coach Popovich on the other night talking about the COVID virus, and he says, yeah, I don't want to die. I'm concerned right. about this as an older guy. What serious precautions are you taking to protect yourself?
Like we were talking before we started, Charles, I thought it was really important that I got in the best shape I possibly can. So, gosh, for those months, I went like almost 90 out of 100 days riding that bicycle. And I mean, riding it hard. And so I started with that, and then I went to diet and rest. I thought, build up your immune system. Beyond that, mega doses of vitamins A, D, and also zinc. And again, just what I ate and what I'm putting in my body, I really tried to be very aware of that. So again, it's about preparation. That's the route I've taken. I've tried to be the best version of me, health-wise, physically. And then after that, I trust that everybody's going to not breach. I trust everybody's going to follow the protocol. I trust the protocol in place is wise, and that our medical team is as good as I think they are. So there's a certain amount of preparation and then a large amount of trust, I think, going into this. And that's exactly how I've approached it.
Hey, when the Chuckster talked to your team in March before all this stuff happened,
yeah,
what was the greatest takeaway, if any, from that appearance?
He was definitely passionate and forthright in what he had to say, and really telling, like, pretty much, Charles, you were telling them to find their own truth, man, and get out there and play it hard every day. And it was a very simple, direct message. But when it comes from a player of Charles' stature, believe me, man, it was quite a buzz around the ballpark that day. And it lasted a couple of days after that, truly. I was so grateful and pleased that you were able to come out like that. And you're always welcome, man. So when you come out there, guys like yourself, whatever the message you might want to get, and it's all about, you know, the work ethic involved and being a great teammate and all the different things that we're as managers trying to get across. A guy like Charles comes out there and he points it out, man, boom, exclamation point. It becomes a lot easier for us to get our messaging across. And on top of that, the golf swing had improved.
Yes, that's yeah, true.
We dropped the ball there and he got up to it and smacked it. It was so beyond a great messaging, it was straight. I was actually pretty, you didn't win it, did you? You were pretty close.
I came close to winning it. Yep.
Yeah, you did.
You're winning what?
Oh, they have a chip off in practice every day, Ernie.
Okay. Closest to the pin.
Hey, Coach keeps it loose. But you know, Ernie, the number one thing I tell these guys, anytime I talk to any pro team or college team, I say, man, this is the greatest job in the world.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I mean, to be a professional player on any level ain't nothing better than that, Ernie. I mean, I was so blessed to play in the NBA for a long time. But if you get to play in the pros, it is the greatest job in the world. And, you know, he got some great leaders, obviously Albert Pujols and Mike Trout. Rendon, is he hurt?
Anthony's hurting right now, but he's not awful. He should be back relatively soon. Yes.
So he got some great leaders. And yeah. You know, Coach Tony La Russa was out there, yeah. who I've mm-hmm. known for a long time. So it was an honor for him to ask me to speak, and I had a great time, Ernie, a great time.
Yeah. Well, hey, Joe, it's always fun visiting with you, and it's going to be different this year when we do games on the weekend that we're not there. We're working out of the Atlanta right. studio calling games. So those manager meetings, Chuckster, when you go into Joe Madden's office, it is like a museum, the coolest stuff of all time. And it all has meaning to Joe, or it has, you know, like baseball philosophy and that kind of thing. Are you still selling stuff at Respect 90, Joe?
Yeah, we come up with. I mean, the shirt I'm wearing right now is the latest one. Feel the gift of experience.
Ah.
You know, too many times we're getting caught up in numbers right now, and everything's about analytics and metrics and numbers, and you're forgetting the heartbeat. And I was actually, for Nick Nurse, I was doing a little blurb on the back of his new book, and I was describing Nick, and I got to the last point, and I'm just, you know, I've gotten to know him a little bit, and I'm reading the book, and I'm all understanding him, and man, the guy's got a ton of experience. When you talk to Nick, he's a coach, man. He's pounded the minor leagues. He's been on buses. He's been in obscure spots. And that's where you develop. And I thought to myself, guy's got great feel, but you can't develop feel without experience. They're mutually exclusive. If you don't get those days in Midland or Peoria or Idaho Falls or Salem or in the backfields of Mesa, Arizona, that's where you develop feel. So when it comes down to it, when the game begins, man, I do all my work. I got all my numbers. I got numbers dripping all over the place. But in the moment when reality and theory don't want to match up, that's where feel takes over. And so I'm so grateful that I did not become a major league manager until I was 51, I think. And because of that, you have this ability to create this cachet of learning and experience to draw on. So feel being the gift of experience, writing something for Nick or about Nick made me think that thought. And I think it's absolutely true. And I got that working right now with Respect 90.
And I agree with you. I think Coach Nurse is one of the most underrated coaches in the NBA. What he did last year and this year before we had the pandemic, he's doing a hell of a job. He really learned along the way. He's a hell of a coach.
He's a real guy, man. It's like when you talk to Nick, it's all about real. And he came to see me in Chicago a couple of years ago. That's where I got to know him. He wanted to come visit, just talk about things. Came in, sat in the office, and we just talked. And as I spoke with him, I thought I was looking in the mirror because his experiences getting there were very similar to mine. It was not a glorious or glamorous road, but it was the one that I think most everybody should take. The idea of really earning the right to sit in this chair is very important to me.
You know, Joe, one thing before you split, this piped in noise, yeah, and the crowd sounds and that kind of thing. Are you a fan? Is it weird? Apparently, you know, the people up there have this big board, you know, that, yeah, they use on video games with basically every emotion that you can possibly have in a game, and they're trying to recreate it.
No, I actually think it's good. And I personally, I'm giving my perspective. When it's the noise is on, your focus, concentration goes out to the field. I think if it's deadly quiet, then it's going to be harder to just stay out here because we're so used to this enveloping feeling. I thought the other day we played the Dodgers, and like sometimes you hear like a whistle coming out from left center field. I mean, because they have such that great sound system that comes in from center. So right, the groups with the really good sound systems could get creative. I think it does help. But the point I really don't think is being made enough is that people are watching. They might not be right there, but there's a lot of folks who are going to be watching. So when it comes down to that adrenaline flow, you know, we're not aware of being on TV all the time. You're just not aware. You're just playing the game and cameras are there, but you're really not you're not focused on that at all. But even for a moment, I like them to be focused on the fact that even there's nobody sitting here, but there's a lot of eyeballs on us. And that should serve as motivation. I have to believe that is a motivating factor. It's different, not denying it. It is different. I believe we're going to come out of the shoot and everybody's going to be kind of excited. There might be a lull as we go on without this. I'm not sure. But I think once you get established in a playoff hunt, that you'll find your own energy somehow. So there could be different phases of this, but realize people are watching all the time, man, and maybe even more closely than ever.
You know, it reminded me, this will take you back. Remember MASH?
Yeah.
Chuckster, this is for the old guys in the room, the 66-year-old Joe and the soon-to-be 64 me. And there was a particular episode of MASH where they were trying to recreate a baseball game and had four guys gathered around a mic, you know, one making the sound of the ball into the mitt and somebody else, you know, And I said, it's kind of like that up there in the press box these days. They're trying to, a ball falls in just out of somebody's reach. Oh, you know, they're trying to find the right, they're trying to find the right sound effect. It's going to be interesting to see how that all plays
but
out.
But I think it's okay. And I actually think they may do like the gladiator thing on TV and superimpose like fans in the stands. Is that a possibility? So like people watching on TV may actually see kind of a normal picture or background.
Hey, we have no idea what they're going to do.
Anything's possible in this business.
Yeah. I mean, Gladiator, it worked for me there.
Right. You're right. You're exactly right. Joe Madden, thank you so much for taking a bunch of time with us today on the Steam Room. We appreciate it. We wish you the best in this baseball season, which begins for you on Friday night in Oakland. And just remember the old baseball adage. It's not a marathon. It's a sprint.
I mean it sincerely. Thank you for asking me on. You guys are the best.
Glad to have you.
I mean it. I would not have just done this because I've been like running around like crazy, but what you did for me, Charles, with us and Ernie, our conversations always, I always look forward to them. I
appreciate you.
Anytime, Coach.
Hey, welcome back to the Steam Room. It's presented proudly by Tractor Supply Company.
Yeehaw! Hey, listen, I told you I could do my Kenny impersonation and say, hey, when am I getting a tractor?
Hey, when am I getting some tractor supplies?
I know, but you know Kenny, he wants a whole tractor.
I can't really see Kenny driving a tractor.
You know, but Kenny wants free.
I know, even if it's something he can't really navigate. Okay, anyway, look who's here. Tim Kiley is here. Tim Kiley, the legendary coordinating producer of Inside the NBA, the guy, the brains behind the operation.
Oh, now you went too far.
No, I've never.
You went way too far. First of all, you already went too far.
Cannot go too far in describing Tim Kiley.
Legendary and brains of the operation?
Yeah. All of those things.
Ernie, I got some breaking news, but first I do have a comment, and I want to compliment you on your always classy restraint. Hey, Chuck, a baseball coach is not a coach. He's a manager, you idiot. It's manager Joe Madden. Or Skipper.
If you're going to say, hey, well, Skipper, hey, have a good season.
Let me ask you a question. Why is that anyway?
Because he's a manager.
Yeah, well, why the basketball coach not a manager? He a manager too.
Don't ask me why do baseball managers wear uniforms and nobody else does.
That's another great point. These are questions we'll never know the answer to. I will say this though, TK. If the manager was in a dugout in a suit, he would probably look like an idiot.
Yeah, well, you know.
Just like a basketball coach wearing a uniform would look like an idiot also.
Hey, couldn't you see Pop wearing a Spurs uniform?
No question. It'd be beautiful.
Wouldn't that be great? That would be awesome.
So, Chuck, it's no longer the Washington Redskins. It is the Washington Football Team. That's their new name.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Came out this year, the Washington Football Team. They're going to get rid of the logo and put numbers on the helmet and call themselves the Washington Football Team and then come up with a new name next year.
Well, what they mean is they don't have time to get all that merchandise done, and they can't make money on it. So let's just go with Washington for right now.
And there's a new hockey team, Chuck.
I heard.
The Seattle Kraken.
I thought it was the Seattle hockey team.
It's a new expansion team, Ernie.
I know. Well, call it the hockey team.
I am just so glad to have sports back in Seattle. Seattle was one of my favorite cities in the United States. They got amazing fans there. The NBA shouldn't have never left there. And I'm glad they finally getting another franchise back there.
I think they should have been like the fish throwers or the fish tossers from that Pike's Place market over there. Have you seen them throwing those fish around Seattle, Chuckster?
Oh, I have. But what's a Kraken?
Mystical ocean beast, Chuck. Are you big on singular names like Kraken or Jazz or...
I don't believe in mythical creatures, so I'm not feeling that name now.
You don't believe in mythical creatures. How do you spell Kraken? Like it sounds?
K-R-A-K-E-N, I think.
Woo! Chuck! Chuck's been studying.
It's Kraken with a K.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Release the Kraken, Ernie, was some old movie that they had the monster in.
Release the Washington football team.
Yes, the last thing, the word is, Chuck, 54-year-old Mike Tyson is going to fight 51-year-old Roy Jones Jr. in an 8-round exhibition.
It'll never get to 8 rounds.
You know, it's sad. Two of the greats going to do that. I mean, nobody want to see me go out there and dominate Bill Russell right now. I'll give it to Big Bill right now. I mean, come on. Nobody want to see that.
Who you got in it, Chuck? Will you watch it?
Of course he will.
No, I won't.
Oh, yes, you will. It's sports.
I guarantee you I will not watch.
There will be limited ringside seats, and you'll have one of them.
Let me tell you something. If they gave me free tickets, I wouldn't take them.
Oh, baloney. You're as big a boxing guy as you are.
I want to see boxers. I told you, one of the highlights of my Tahoe trip was meeting Canelo Alvarez. Him and the actor Michael Pena, they made my whole trip. Because Canelo is the best in the world right now, and Michael Pena is just a great actor. And they were awesome to be around. But I want to see Canelo fight. I don't want to see two old geezers.
Roy Jones and Mike Tyson, huh?
Do you know, Ernie, Jones is the only guy. He has 5 titles in 5 different ways. He started at middleweight, and he ended as a heavyweight.
Yeah. He beat John Ruiz.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the commercials they're going to be running doing that? Geritol. They're going to be running Geritol commercials. The pins. Come on, man. No, listen, I love Roy Jones and Mike Tyson, but I don't want to see them fight. I don't want to see that.
Well, with that, I will leave you. I know, Ernie, you've got to get to the phones and find out who left messages for what. Hopefully a couple of steamers from Australia have done that again.
Yeah, that would be great.
Thanks for joining the show, legendary brains of the operation.
Brought to you by Tractor Supply Company.
This segment of the Steam Room, presented by Tractor Supply Company and featuring Tim Kiley, was presented again by Tractor Supply Company. We'll be back with more of the Steam Room, the world's most second. Oh, I screwed that up. Sorry. The world's second most popular podcast, right after this. We're back inside the Steam Room. Commit this number to memory, please. 404-987-0330. 404-987-0330. I tell you to commit that number to memory, and because that's the number for Chuck's answering machine. I can't wait to hear from some loyal steamers. How about you, man?
Yes, sir.
Let's go.
You've reached Charles Barkley. Leave a message, America.
Love the podcast, gentlemen. Charles, been watching you on the arena on TNT. And it's been great to see you and Draymond get along. My question for you is that real? You guys really get along behind the scenes, or is this just for TV? Thank you.
Well, first of all, it's been awesome. I want to give a special shout out to TNT for giving us a forum to talk about social issues every day this week. So thank you out to all the bosses. Feel free to give me a raise whenever you want to. No, me and Draymond have gotten along really, really well. First of all, me and Draymond, I like him as a player. He's annoying at times. I'm pretty sure I'm annoying at times when I play. But he's a heck of a player, and we get along great. We've had a lot of fun nights with me, him, and D-Wade and Kerry Champion. He's a tequila guy like Chuck is a tequila guy. So we've had a lot of fun away from the show.
It's been fun to watch. Yeah, I love Kareem the other night, man. I mean,
that was unbelievable. First day, Killer Mike.
Yeah, You know, there have been some great features in there, and I think it's, yeah, it's been, you know, and the conversation's been great. Welcome to Kerry Champion, to the Turner family.
Hey guys, it's Chelsea, Loyal Steamer here. My question for both of you, what is something you're really good at that might surprise people?
I am an exquisite pancake maker. In fact, I was just doing that for two of the grandkids this morning. Specialties are the Mickey Mouse pancakes. Also, I'm very good at snowmen and caterpillars, and I make the world's smallest pancake as well. And these are always popular with the grandkids. So I've always done that. So yeah, pancake making. I'm not ashamed to say that I'm really good at it.
Well, number one, thanks for the pancakes. Oh, you never gave me any. Because I love me some pancakes. You can never mess up pancakes. You know, I don't know if I'm really, other than basketball and cleaning.
Basketball and cleaning. I'm very good at cleaning, too. I am.
Well, I think most people know I'm a clean fanatic. I think it's really important to keep whatever you have clean. And I will admit, I'm a fool for vacuum cleaners and cleaning supplies. Every time there's a new vacuum cleaner out, I got to have it. And they love me. When I'm at the store, I'm going up and down the cleaning aisle looking for something new, better. I always have done that and always will do that. I'm in love right now with this microband stuff, and I can't find it. But it's the new cleaning product. I have been all over creation. I got it in the beginning.
Microband. Okay.
It's a cleaning product. It's got a, and I love it. And I just can't find it. So I'm really pissed about that. That's my new hot thing, microband cleaning.
Cheryl Ann recently got one of these floor steamer things that has a little disc in there that scents it. And cleaning the kitchen floor and the tile in there with this bad boy, I'm telling you, Chuckster, has like three settings on there for as much steam as you want. Makes the place smell good. I'll have to figure out what that is. And pass
I'm gonna have
on.
To talk to Cheryl Ann about that, because like you can never get floors clean enough when they're wood or tile. I love that.
Give us another call.
Hey Charles, we all know you're not a big internet guy, but I was wondering if you've seen this new trend of cakes that don't look like cakes. I can't stop watching these videos and would love to get your take on it.
This is really weird.
What is that?
That's a cake. Look at this.
Is that a cake? A real for real?
See, it looks like one of those crocs. And this looks like a roll of toilet paper, but it's actually?
Oh, my goodness.
A cake. Look at that. That's some creative cake making.
That is some creative cake making right there. Oh,
this
my God.
This looks like a potted plant. But is it a potted plant? No. It's a cake. This looks like a bar of soap. Even has suds on it.
That's one of the most, that's some of the most amazing things I've seen in my life right there.
Look
no
at
way.
This. Yeah, that looks like a, you know, what's it look like?
A bottle of lotion.
Yeah. Big old bottle of lotion. And?
Wow.
Well, I'm sorry.
You don't, this is, oh, no way. Man, it's some talented people. Oh, look at that pizza.
No, but it's a cake.
Man, there's some talented people in the world. I had never seen anything, heard about that, because you know I don't do any social media.
Hey, I gotta share something with you. I got a direct message this week, and this guy says, I'm a police officer in Ireland. I have little interest in the NBA. But your podcast with Mr. Barkley lets me forget about things after a difficult day. God bless and thank you.
Wow.
Isn't that great? I love that action, man.
That is amazing. And you know, Ernie, that's the one weird thing about, I mean, somebody in Ireland, listen, I mean, we know we got people in Australia, but that's like when we first started this podcast, I was like, I actually, to be honest with you, Ernie, I've actually never listened to a podcast in my life.
Yeah.
I mean, never. And now I'm really enjoying this. That for him to take the time to reach out to you, man, that was really special.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to get you to hold on for 2 seconds. We're not done yet. I'm going to get to the bottom of this. Cheryl won't answer my texts from down here. Hold on a second.
She won't take your text or call. Trust me. I feel the same way she does. Every time I see your name pop up, I go decline. And she's probably doing the same thing. She's probably sitting there looking right at the phone, and it says Ernie. Or she probably got you under some name like Honey. Or like, I'm just tripping my mouth a little bit, her calling you Honey. I like the way he just leaves.
Got good news for you, man. You're going to be on the internet here in no time looking for this. It's the Bissell Power Fresh.
Bissell Power Fresh.
Power Fresh.
Okay.
You'll love it, man. You'll love it. Anyway, sorry for doing that. Sorry for interrupting the flow of the steam.
That's okay. I hope they put on. I hope they put everything I just said about you on.
What did you just?
What?
Yeah. All right. I was just trying to help. trying to help you out.
Come on, Cap. You got to put on everything I just said about Ernie. Please, man.
All right, that's it for today's edition of the Steam Room. We really appreciate y'all tuning in. Again, loyal steamers, spread the word. And thanks again to the folks at Tractor Supply Company for sponsoring the Steam Room. See you next week.